thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
God, I believe that you have great things for me going into 2012. When I was kind of reflecting at the end of the year on things that had happened in 2011, and to be honest, I didn't love everything that happened in 2011. Can't always control what happens to us. We can always control what happens in us. And as we're going into 2012, I said, Lord, I just want to have the right attitude, the right perspective, and I want to gain and grow in all the ways that you want me to gain and grow in 2012. And the Lord reminded me of a scripture. We're going to have some that are going to come up in a little while for you on the screen, but the one I want to read to you right now, I want to read from Isaiah chapter 43. You have some notes. There's not a lot of PowerPoint tonight, but you may want to write down some of these scripture references, and just want to share a couple thoughts with you about maybe being challenged going into 2012. I want to read the first two verses to you in Isaiah chapter 43, and then I want to read verses 18 and 19 and just share a couple thoughts with you. In context, Isaiah the prophet has been raised up by God to speak to the children of Israel who'd been living in bondage for quite a while, and God is getting ready to deliver them. And they've been in Babylonian captivity, and there's a heaviness, and there's a weight on them. And, you know, sometimes those things are on us, are they not? Sometimes they're on us, and we're going into the future, and we don't even really realize how they're on us. And here comes Isaiah, prompted by the Lord, to speak some words of truth to the people of God. And the first two verses say this. Now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass, not if, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, and the blazes and the flames will not set you ablaze. So here's God encouraging Isaiah to speak to the people that had been in bondage, that had this heaviness. We just sung about having God break the chains over our lives. Are there some chains in your lives that God wants to break off so that in 2012 you can go forward and you don't feel tethered to the past? I want to read to you Isaiah chapter 43 verses 18 and 19, but I want to read it to you through a paraphrase called The Message. And I want you to listen to these words because it's the same chapter, but it's a little bit further along, and it's Isaiah speaking again. And here's what he says. Forget about what's happened. Forget about what's happened. So he's encouraging the people, listen, you've been living in bondage. There's been a lot that's happened in your life, but you need to forget what has happened. And now notice this word. He says, don't keep going over old history. Now, Isaiah wouldn't say don't. God wouldn't prompt him to say don't if it wasn't possible. Don't keep going over old history. And then he says two things. He says, be alert and be present. Be alert and be present. I came across this statement sometime in the month of December, and I don't know where it came from, but when I saw it, I typed it into my phone because I wanted to remember it, and here's what that statement was. Procrastination will breed passivity. Think about that. Procrastination will breed passivity. So God is saying through Isaiah to the children of Israel, forget about what's happened. Forget about what's happened in the past. Don't. So he's commanding them. Don't keep going over old history. Don't live there any longer. And then he says this, be alert and be present. And so here's the challenge for all of us. Let's not procrastinate when it comes to that. Let's not procrastinate about going back into the past. It's very easy, is it not? It's very easy to go back in the past. And if we go back and we spend too much time back there, we end up living there. And so Isaiah is saying, be alert and be present. I'm about to do something brand new. Are you ready for that? Amen. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, and I love this in the message, rivers in the Badlands. In the King James, NIV, NLT, it says rivers in the desert, but rivers in the badlands. God wants to make rivers. He wants to make streams. He wants to make a way where there seems to be no way. But we can't procrastinate. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. God is doing a new thing. That's what he was trying to say to his people. God was doing a new thing. And so my challenge to you before I open it up here and we discuss a little bit, my challenge is let's form some habits. You know, habits are not necessarily a bad thing. Here's the definition of habit. An acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has become almost involuntary. Let me say that again. An acquired behavior pattern regularly followed until it has become almost involuntary. Don't keep going over old history. That's a good habit. I'm not going to go back there anymore. I'm learning. God, your word says I don't have to. But on the other hand, I'm going to form a habit of being alert and being present. God is working in the now, and God wants to do things in our lives. Let me just read this quote to you guys from Helen Keller. And as most of us know, Helen Keller, I think 19 months, was stricken with an illness that caused her to be deaf, almost blind, and lived that way all of her life. And here's what she said. She said, "Security is a myth. The reason we don't experience it is because it does not exist. Avoiding dangerous failure is no safer in the long run than outright risk. Life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all." Isn't that true? Life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all. God has a daring adventure for us to go on in 2012. But we can't procrastinate. It's going to lead us to become passive if we do. Do you guys ever struggle with that? Procrastination, passivity, those kinds of challenges?
I'm the world's worst procrastinator. I remember in college, I used to write papers starting at midnight the day they were due. So I totally understand what she says. There's no security in that because you are hustling and you are scrambling and you are scared to death. You're not going to finish it on time. And then you do and you're like, oh, I got it done. It's okay. And you just keep doing it. So that can definitely create, I know for me, it does create passivity and it can be pretty deadly.
Well, we're, as you guys know, and some of you don't, we're moving offices, and we've done this big, like, domino thing. One person moves, someone takes their office. I was the final domino to go. And so my office right now, you can hardly walk in it. It is nothing but boxes of books. And getting back from vacation, I've been swamped. I have not put one book away. So I right now am the ultimate procrastinator of putting my office back together. And the longer I put it off, the more passive I become about it. So that's a good word for me.
And I think about procrastination when it comes to my relationship with Christ. And we often procrastinate in even the simple things of prayer. We'll say, well, I'll get to it later tonight or I'll get to it another day. But that creates, I just thought about being passive with God is not a winning solution. I think about it, I'm like, if I'm passive with God, the God of the universe, and I say, I'm passive with him, and I just kind of push him to the side, eventually I'm going to find myself in a desert by myself, and then you're going to turn around and say, where's God in all this? And he's like, well, you've passed me by way too many times. And that procrastination, I don't think I would ever want to procrastinate what God has planned for me and what he has to say into our lives. And for procrastinate is a good word because I was thinking passive, and God laid on my heart for me when I was praying for 2012 for myself and for my wife and our family, and I said, you know what? What does God want? And God challenged me, said, in 2012, you need to be the change. Instead of expecting change, be the change. And I talked about that a little bit last week, but I really thought about what does that mean to be the change and to be the change in 2012. And I thought about change in our lives and what we go through, and I thought about there's always the New Year's revolution. I don't know if anyone's ever done that. They're going to become a jogger or a runner. And you buy, like, the clothes and the shoes, and then they sit in your closet for the next 12 months. And you're like, those are some pretty sweet-looking clothes, but I never used them. And I thought about, to be the change, you have to act as if change is possible.
That's good.
You know, I thought about, I was like, you know, throughout our lives and throughout all that God's done, the Bible characters in the Bible, And I thought of an Exodus 7 with Aaron and his rod. He had his rod, and he had full faith in God. And I'm not talking about faith. I'm talking about relying and knowing that change is possible. That you he took that rod, he threw it to the ground, and it changed, and it became a snake, and all that stuff. But he said, you know what? Change is possible. What I'm about to do, I know God can do, so I'm going to do it. And for the change in our lives in 2012 means we most likely have to do something to initiate change, whether we think it's possible or not. We are looking at, for some of us are in our lives, maybe there's things that are going on that we feel that is unsurmountable, we are unable to do it. But if you don't make an effort to at least initiate change, you're never going to know if change was ever possible in your life. And God challenged me in that. And I thought about a speaker I heard at summer camp once, because we go to a lot of summer camps, we travel with the kids, and he said this, you know, in our culture, it's always cool to be different. It's always, you want to be different. You don't want to be the in crowd. It's this, as people are calling it now, the hipster look and whatever is coming and going. But you know what he said? If you want to be 100% different in this culture, grab a Bible, act like a Christian. You're nothing like the culture it is today. And I thought, you know what? That's a change in 2012 that all Christians need to make. We need to pick up our Bibles and say, I'm going to be changed. Because I'm going to walk against what culture's telling me to do. I'm going to walk against what culture's trying to say. I'm going to walk against what culture's teaching. And I'm going to carry this Bible. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ as much as I can. And I will be the change. And it made me think about the saying. And this is an old saying. So it was probably around when you two were born. It's the saying the parents always say. You know, if Susie was going to jump off a bridge, would you do it too? And I thought about that, and I'm not condoning anyone jump off a bridge, so don't think I'm saying that. But you know what? I thought about that kid that's going to jump out of the bridge, and I thought about this. They did something that got someone's attention to consider to do the same thing. You know what? What if we were those people that got everyone's attention in just Arvada at this church or other churches and say, you know, I'm going to grab people's attention by the way I love Jesus Christ, by the way I live and the way I do. And all of a sudden, everyone's like, you know what? I don't know if I want to do that. You know what? Some people, becoming a Christian is like jumping off a bridge. But you know what? Some of them need to jump and they need to come into the grace of God. And we need to look and act like a different change. So I wanted to ask you guys, what was a defining, changing moment that you can look at and go, you know what? When I initiated the change, when I thought change was possible, it changed everything. I know that's a tough question right off the bat to throw at you. But what do you think? What would be a change?
Well, probably the most obvious one was giving my life to Christ, because I was so far away from Christ and so caught up in the world, so empty, so against Christianity, against Jesus Christ. And even though my change was, I'm going to give Jesus a chance for 6 months. It wasn't, I'm selling out, I'm all in, this is it for life. It was, I'm going to try this. I'm going to do a free trial offer for 6 months. But that was a big step, because I was so, so far away. And God honored that step and showed himself true to me. And I'm still here 7 months later. That happened when I was 20. I'm 20 years, 7 months right now. And
I'm still 7 months.
These guys are a lot quicker on their feet than I am. So I'll just move right along here. I think when you asked that question, the thought that came to me was in thinking about 2011, I think the thing that I had to caution myself several times this year with was even relying on the old good things and the old good ways that God had worked. Because if we're not careful, we can even fall in a rut of the good things that God has done. And yes. And then what we almost end up doing is we end up putting God in a box. And God has to move the way he's always moved. And God has to do things the way he's always done it. And I realized in 2011, as I was ending the year, that was not causing me to be dependent upon the Lord. Matter of fact, I was doing what Isaiah was challenging the people of God not to do. Don't keep going over the old history. Sometimes the old history of the good things that God has done in your life are meant to be markers and milestones, but God wants to keep working in our lives in fresh and new ways, and I want him to do that. I want him to work in fresh and new ways. You know, you remember the days, and you brought up the age thing, so I'll bring it out a little bit. You remember the days when if you wanted to listen to a song on a tape, you had your tape in your tape player in your car, you had to keep rewinding it until you got it to that exact spot. Some of you know what I'm talking about. where the song started again. You don't have to do that anymore with DVDs. It's instant. You hit that button on your car, and I think sometimes that technology, spiritually speaking, doesn't serve us well, because we can quickly go back to what God did yesterday, and God is saying, forget the former things. Sometimes I think God is saying, forget even the former things that I've done, the good things that I've done, because I've got new things and I've got fresh things that I want to do in your life, and I want you to be expecting and I want you to be anticipating those things.
That's good. Tape players. I don't even know what that is. So.
You're talking about Scotch tape?
No.
They're bad.
It's going downhill real quick. I also thought for 2012 to be the change means for some of us we have to make the smallest changes in our lives. There's things we're struggling with. There's things we're going through. And I thought about, you know what, some of the biggest change, and I thought about this for my wife and I, is, you know, the biggest change I'm probably going to have to make in 2012 in my own life is I got to take care of my family and my wife, and I have to do that better. And it made me look at it and go, I'm not saying I haven't done it well. I've had my rough spots, but I thought, you know what, to be the change, I got to be a change to my own wife first and be the leader of my household. And it's, you know, I've only been married 14 months, so I pretty much know everything about marriage. And it's, you laugh. Why do you laugh? I do. But I looked at it and said, you know what, it's to be the change, I have to start my life, my wife's life, when we have kids, my kids' lives, and then I move on from there. And for some of us, I thought, you know, in this room, we have to be the change in our own family. We have to lead our family by the name of Jesus Christ first, and some of us, we're not doing that. And, you know, we work with kids and we work with families, and we see that sometimes. We have kids, I would say probably in our youth ministry, 40% of our kids' parents don't even come to church. And we have these kids that are trying to lead by example to their own parents, but that they don't even know what to do. And I thought, you know what, we are family, which means I also need to lead any Christian that I know that accepted Jesus Christ to walk hand in hand and side by side, which means I need to be the change in people's lives in 2012. And it really challenged me. And, you know, change can be a good thing, but sometimes it's not always a good thing. And I think you were going to talk about that.
Change is a difficult proposition.
It is.
Because sometimes change brings blessings into our lives. Sometimes, like Kurt said, we're in a position where we're able to be the change agent. We're able to do things that bring change about, and God challenges us to bring change about. But there's another aspect of change. Sometimes we are prisoners of change. And being a prisoner of change is when change is forced upon you. Being a prisoner of change is when the change that is coming about isn't change that you personally would have chosen. And I'm sure all of us can look in our lives and see situations, circumstances that we didn't choose. They changed, and then we became then a prisoner of that change. So what do you do when you're a prisoner of change? It's one thing to say, change brings blessing. Yeah, I'm all for that. Run to the front. I want to be a change agent. But what happens when someone else or something else is the change agent and you're not very happy about it? That's much more difficult. The Apostle Paul, Kurt talked about Paul last week and his conversion, and Jeff also talked about it this weekend. And in his conversion experience, he becomes the agent of change. He brings change about all throughout the Mediterranean world. But then there was also change that was brought into his life. There was change that he found himself in that he did not raise his hand for. He would not have chosen. And although in his letters we see the positive work that God's doing in his life, it must have been excruciatingly difficult. Let's take a look at a few scriptures. They'll come up on the screen. The first one is from Philippians 3:1. It says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus." Now, I want you to put your name in there for a moment. I, Roger. I, Bob, I, Kurt, I, Blake, the prisoner of Christ Jesus. All of a sudden, Paul finds himself not as the figurative prisoner, but the literal prisoner, sitting in a jail cell, the greatest apostle of his day, the church planner, the discipler extraordinaire, the man with dreams that were so wide and so deep, ready to go to areas of the world that most people would not even dream of traveling into. And he had dreams of planting churches in Spain, which was completely unreached, and using Rome as the stopping off point. And he's all excited, and he's got his 5, 10, and 15-year plan. And all of a sudden, he's a prisoner of change. But I want you to notice the four words, for the sake of. You know, when you're a prisoner of change, you need to find for the sake of. Why has God put me here? Why am I in this prison? There's many kinds of prisons. You could be in a prison of a relationship that started off great and now is terrible. You could be in the prison of a job that you loved. Maybe you had to take it because you had no choice. You had to provide for your family, and you hate going to work every single day. You could be in a prison of your neighborhood where someone moves in that they're just ruining the whole neighborhood. They're making your life miserable. You're a prisoner of change. So many different prisons that we find ourselves in, but we have to ask ourselves, what is the for the sake of? Now you'll notice for Paul, it was for the sake of you Gentiles. You non-Jews that are coming to the Lord in huge measure, that's why I'm a prisoner. So why has God locked you in your particular prison? How many of you have at least one? Something you didn't choose, but you're there. Raise your hand. You've got at least one prison. Why are you there? Look at the next scripture, Ephesians 4. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Now, this is written from prison. There's a calling you've received. It says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Now, that bearing with one another, when you're a prisoner of change, it is very difficult to bear with others. Let's talk about our church for a moment. We're making changes. Some are excited. You're on the front row. You can't wait. Some of you kind of have your arms crossed. You're not so sure. There's changes coming. You're not sure you're going to like them. You might find yourself a prisoner of change. But why does God have you here? God has you. God has planted you in this church for a purpose and a reason in this season. And just because you feel uncomfortable about the change, just because you find yourself as a prisoner of the changes that are happening, doesn't mean that God doesn't have you here. It doesn't mean that God doesn't still have a great calling and a great purpose in your life right here. And we have to bear with one another in love in our prison of change. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So for the sake of, can you find one? It might be kind of hard. Maybe you got to dig down a little bit. But for the sake of, why are you in the prison that you're in? There's a reason. God wants to redeem it. God redeemed it for Paul. He says, because I'm in this prison, all the palace guard. Now today, the guards that are in prison are not the top elite guards. But in those days, the top elite guards were guarding the prisoners. So here's Paul. He has two options. I'm chained to them, or they're chained to me. And if we'll take the attitude that even in our prisons of hope, they're chained to me, I'm going to influence them. I'm going to change them. Then it makes your prison of change into a place of hope. So Kurt and Blake, I know you guys have had a few changes in your life forced upon you from others. You've been in a few prisons of hope. What for the sake ofs have you found in your prisons of hope?
It's a good question. I said at the beginning that 2011 has been a challenging year, and I think probably on some levels for all of us. And I think for me, for the sake of, I realized for the sake of others, whether I see the change that I'm expecting or that I'm believing, when I'm expecting or when I'm believing it, I have to be faithful to God. You know, I'm not in charge of the timetable. And you pray into people's lives, pray into your family's life, pray into other people's lives, and believe God for great things. And when and if things don't happen in that timetable, I'm trying to be very careful to what I allow to happen in my heart. I have to trust God with the timing of things. And so for the sake of God's will and God's purpose to prevail, I'm going to persevere in prayer. And I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to seek God regardless of what I see happening in the natural or even happening in the supernatural. I'm going to continue to persevere until the breakthrough comes. I'm going to continue to trust God until the breakthrough comes, because God knows when I don't.
I think for the sake of, for me, I think of when, before I came on staff here, I moved to California and was working with Dr. David Jeremiah at his church, and I never wanted to leave this church. I was here, and then I left and came back, and I never wanted to leave, but it was the path God put on, and I got out there, and it was a great experience. I learned a lot, and I loved working there, but I always wanted to work here, and I had to leave, and it was a weird moment when Pastor George called me and was like, hey, do you want to come back? And I was like, I just moved. Why do you want me to come back now? Where was this a year ago? But I thought about that year I walked through. It was for the sake of myself that I had to go through that. That God had to break me and say, you know what, I have a path for you and I have a design for you, but I need you to walk the season you're in now and learn from it and walk faithfully. And it strengthened my faith in him, because we walk through seasons in life, and when we don't walk faithfully, that season sometimes I feel like can get extended. And God will say, let's try it again. Let's see if you can walk faithfully. Once you walk faithfully, then I'm gonna move you on to something else. And I think it was for the sake of my faithfulness to God, to say, you know what, God, I don't know what plan you have. This is not the plan I want. This is not what I want to do, and this is a great opportunity, but I was in that prison of not wanting it wasn't what my heart desired, that I walked through it, and my faithfulness was so strengthened that any prison I walk through, I can look back and go, you know what, if I walk faithfully, if I walk hand in hand with the prayer that I have in God and his word, I don't feel like I'm ever going to lose out, because my faithfulness will always be rewarded.
Amen. And many times that prison of change is for our sakes. God wants to change us. Some of you probably made physical goals for 2012. I'm going to run like one of you talked about running, the running outfit. You still have it from last year, so you don't even have to go out and buy it. You know, I'm going to run, I'm going to walk, I'm going to lift weights, whatever it might be. There are three phases that the body goes through in getting in shape. And so if you're going to try it in 2012, remember these three phases. Because these three phases are the same phases that we go through in the prison of change. The first phase is called the stun phase. How many of you have felt the stun phase? The stun phase is either you haven't been working out or you're about to go to a higher level in working out and your body is absolutely stunned. The reason that most people don't persevere in working out is because they're so shocked by this stage that they just quit right on the spot. They go to the gym, feel great, working out. The next day, they can't even get out of bed. They can't move. They got to call in sick to work. And they don't persevere through that shock stage, and so they just give up. I have found that when I am in the prison of change, and all of a sudden something has changed and I am not happy about it, if I can survive the first 6 months without doing something stupid, blowing out, you know, whatever it might be, if I can get through the first 6 months, the shock stage, I'll be okay. God will begin to show me the for the sake of. At first, I don't have a clue what for the sake is. I'm upside down on the wave. I'm completely confused. But then after time, God begins to speak to me, and God begins to show me. So you've got to get through the shock stage of change. Then the second phase, when you're getting in shape, is your body starts to get used to it. And you're like, hey, this isn't so bad. Wow, I'm starting to feel better now. I can actually go to work the next day. This is amazing. And your body gets used to it. And eventually, you start to get used to the change. It's not so bad. I thought it was going to be worse. It's okay. Hey, I'm going to make it. It's not as bad as I thought it was going to be. But then the third stage is you're actually able to go further. You're able to take a step up. You're able to get run further, walk further, lift more weights, whatever it might be. Your body has gotten used to where you were, and now you can take a step further. It's the same way with change. You find yourself where you don't want to be, and you're shocked. Then you get into the stage where you're just getting used to it, but then you come out of that. And all of a sudden now, you can press in, like Blake was saying, let down the nets. You can go further. You can go deeper. And you've made it through that. God has worked in your life. And now you can take a step up for Him. And you can do things that you never, ever thought you could do. Because instead of bailing when the change came, instead of running, instead of getting mad, instead of getting an attitude, you made it through the shock stage. You allowed yourself to get used to it, find out it's not so bad, and now you can accelerate into what God has for you. So let me just say something. If you're one of the ones that right now you're saying, I don't know about this change that's happening all around us here in our church, and you're feeling behind other people who seem like they're so excited, they're way ahead of you, don't worry about it. Because if you can just survive the shock, if you can get used to it, you'll hit the acceleration and you'll catch up. Just stay on board. Don't go anywhere.
That's good. I think our desire tonight was to challenge us in at least a couple areas. Like Kurt was saying, do we need to be the change this year? Is that what God is saying? Lord, I'm going to be the change, whether it's in my own personal life, my family, wherever it is. Am I living right now as a prisoner of change? Am I in a place right now? The greatest writings of Paul came when he was in a place he didn't want to be. And out of sometimes that place of being a prisoner of change, the greatest growth sometimes comes in our life. Or maybe we have been in bondage for years, like the children of Israel were, years and years and years. And when I say bondage, we could have been maybe in a place we didn't want to be. Maybe we felt like we were in the wilderness or we were somewhere, and God is now speaking, and He's saying, your time is coming. Forget the way it was. Forget how it used to be. Don't get stuck there. I'm getting ready to do a new thing. And in whatever phase or whatever category you find yourself, God wants to minister to us right there. God wants to meet you right where you're at. God has great things for us in 2012. We're the family of God. We're the body of Christ. We're here because God's called us to be here. We're to be ambassadors in our families and in our community. And so we thought about how we would close the service tonight as just kind of a way to encourage us. And I'm going to let Pastor Roger tell you how we're going to do that as we invite Jessica and the team out. But our challenge again to you tonight is this. If it's true that procrastination leads to passivity, then we have to identify where we're at. Identify where you're at right now. Identify where it is, what season of life you're in, and then respond appropriately to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit.
Good. Why don't we stand up? And if tonight, wherever you're at, you're excited about 2012, feeling like a prisoner, anything in between, what we need is a personal, fresh word from God. Because one scripture, one touch of the Holy Spirit can propel you into the future in ways that will amaze you. So we're going to sing a song, I Will Not Relent. And if you just need a fresh touch from God, come on forward. We're going to have a prayer team up here, and they'll just kind of be walking around. And if you want someone to pray for you, just grab them. But this is really kind of a time just to kneel down, hear from God, get a drop, get a plunge, get whatever you need to be ready for 2012. So come on to the front. Prayer team, why don't you come on down and just make yourselves available. You can, prayer team, if you want to, you can kind of walk around and lay hands on people too and pray for people as the Lord leads you.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.